Money FM 89.3, best of prime time.
This is Prime Time on Money FM 89.3. I'm Rachel Kelly. Auckland is now the world's most livable city. That's according to the latest global livability ranking by the Economist Intelligence Unit. The New Zealand city rose to the top of the rankings because of its approach to containing the COVID-19 pandemic. EIEU says there's also a strong contingent of cities in the APAC region at the top of the rankings, with Osaka, Adelaide, Tokyo and Wellington rounding out the top five. To find out more, we're joined now by Dr. Simon Baptiste, Global Chief Economist at the Economist Intelligence Unit. Simon, thank you so much for joining us today.
All right, good to talk to you.
Wonderful to have you with us. So this week in the news, New Zealand has now gone over 100 days without reporting a COVID-19 case. And we see two New Zealand cities in the top five for your latest global ranking just out this week, with one taking the top spot. Were there other contributing factors that pushed Wellington and Auckland to the top of the table?
Both Wellington and Auckland already had very high levels of livability before the COVID-19 pandemic. Across our five categories of stability, healthcare, culture and environment, education and infrastructure, both of those cities were already top performers. They were in the top 10 6 months ago, and they were in the top 15 18 months ago before the pandemic started. So they started off from a good base. But that combined with two factors has led to their rise even further now. Firstly is that they have done a good job at controlling the healthcare outcomes from COVID-19. So their healthcare scores have been maintained, whereas in many other places, particularly in Europe for this survey, which was done in March, the healthcare indicators had deteriorated. And the second thing they've done really well is managed to keep a lot of things open. Their culture and environment scores have been maintained because things like bars, restaurants, sporting facilities, entertainment venues, cultural venues have all pretty much remained open, and the restrictions are much lower than in other cities. So we saw a lot of other cities moving downwards, partly because of restrictions and partly because of deteriorating healthcare scores. And this left the New Zealand cities kind of sitting at the top of the pile, along with those from Australia, Japan and Switzerland.
Simon, can you talk to us about the shift in approach, perhaps, to the rankings this year? I mean, this is following 1 year on in the pandemic. What were some of the new considerations? I mean, for example, the rollout of vaccine COVID numbers. Tell us more.
Yes, so the fundamental approach to livability that we take hasn't changed, although this time, for the first time, we did introduce a few new indicators in some of the categories. So say, for example, in the healthcare category, where there was a few additions due to COVID-19, we did add vaccination rates. We have added some information on hospitalizations and deaths due to COVID-19 as well. So there's been the addition of a few new indicators as well. But the main way that COVID-19 affects these rankings is not directly. We're not ranking cities based on how they've controlled the pandemic. We're ranking them on how they are doing in terms of the outcomes like healthcare and open and keeping facilities open, alongside other elements of livability like stability and education and infrastructure.
What were some of, you mentioned stability, infrastructure, education. Tell us a little bit more about those considerations and how do they weigh in the overall rankings?
So the cities that are at the top of the rankings, of course, tend to do well over all sorts of criteria, all of the five areas. This, when we look further down the bottom of the index, of course, we see cities with much lower levels of stability. So the least livable city in our survey is Damascus in Syria. That was no surprise to say that it has a very low stability score. I mean, they've been having a civil war for the past decade or so. And so stability is an important element. It includes things like crime rates, chance of violent protests breaking out, how stable the political system is. And these are all important aspects of living in a place without having to endure hardships.
So, Simon, we're both based here in Singapore, and I understand that Singapore was ranked at about 34. Why is that? Talk us through the assessment for our city-state.
Yeah, so Singapore's score is still quite high. So it has an overall score of 83.8 out of 100, and that's compared to Auckland, which is at 96. So it's sort of about 15% or so behind Auckland. But living in Singapore generally has high levels of livability, and there's no strong impediments. Singapore is kind of ranked alongside cities like Taipei, like Boston, like Munich and Amsterdam, all have very similar scores to Singapore. Singapore's ranking is quite high, particularly on the infrastructure and the stability indicators, is where Singapore is a real standout. It also performs quite strongly on education, a little bit less well on healthcare, while availability of healthcare is very good, affordability and access is not as strong in Singapore as in some other cities that score higher than it. The area where Singapore has the lowest relative score is in culture and environment. Some of these elements now are due to the COVID-19 restrictions that have been in place. And this time we saw cities such as Houston, Miami and Chicago jump ahead of Singapore as the US has reopened and vaccinated more of its populations. So that's a COVID-related element. I mean, there are also some non-COVID-related elements in there as well. Singapore's restrictions on the media and free speech do affect its score in a couple of the categories, for example.
I see. We're speaking with Dr. Simon Baptiste, Global Chief Economist at the Economist Intelligence Unit. So, Simon, talk to us about some of the other major movers you saw in this year's rankings. Any that surprised you? I mean, Honolulu moved quite a bit, didn't it?
There was a big move up by cities in the US and also in China, because if we compare them to six or 12 months ago, the levels of restrictions in the cities are much lower. And so this time we did see Honolulu and Houston were the two cities that moved up the most. Chinese cities also moved up the rankings, as did cities in Spain. And this is really a reversal of what had happened 6 months ago, when Spanish cities were in very deep lockdown, so they had very low scores on things like culture and environment and also on healthcare. They've now seen a bit of a return, not all the way back to normal, but undoing a lot of the damage that did happen 6 months ago. So Spanish, American and Chinese cities have all moved up quite a bit. On the other hand, this time we have seen a decline in scores in Canada and Europe. And that's interesting from a livability perspective, because Canadian and European cities often sit at the top of the index. If we go back 12 months, Calgary in Canada was ranked in the top 10. Vancouver in Canada has been number one in the past. Vienna was number one last year. Now, they have all fallen down, because at the time this survey was taken, which was in March, there was more pressure on the healthcare systems and also more lockdown measures. It's really unusual to see this much volatility in livability. It is not something I've ever seen in the decade I've been involved with this survey. We've never seen so many changes and ranks moving by so much as they have this time. And I will expect that to continue over the next 6 months. The healthcare situation is going to change in many, many cities, I think, over the next 6 months, mostly for the better, as vaccines get rolled out. We'll also see more dynamics around different paces of international opening. And so I would expect European and American cities to benefit from that as they start to have, for example, more international sporting events and more international cultural events and freer movement is going to be an advantage for those places. At the same time, COVID is now likely with us on an ongoing basis. Societies are going to have to get used to having livability alongside controlling the virus on a consistent basis, I don't think anywhere is going to be able to be in a situation where it can actually remain COVID-free in the long term. So watching how cities adapt to that is going to be fascinating for us as we do future versions of this survey.
Wonderful. Well, Simon, thank you so much for taking the time to speak with us today.
Great. Nice to chat.
Thank you. We've been speaking with Dr. Simon Baptiste, Global Chief Economist at the Economist Intelligence Unit. You're listening to Money FM 89.3.
To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg or download our audio app. That's AWEDIO. Available on Google Play or the App Store.